right. How you doing, everyone? Welcome to Giants Post Game Live here on My Nine. Giants come away with a very, very hard fought, but what they needed, a 32-18 victory over the Tampa Bay Buccaneers down at Raymond James Stadium in Tampa. There you see some of the players coming into the locker room now off the field. Again, it wasn't easy, but hey, with the Giants, it is never easy. However, the final score is the what counts. 32-18 was your final. They improved their record to 5-4 and remain in first place in the NFC East. Again, how you doing, everyone? I am Russ Salzberg. My colleagues joining me today, David Deal, Roman Oben, and Amani Toomer. Guys, like as they say, it is never easy, but their second straight game on the road, they go down, and this was the one they had to have, and they got it.
Well, you knew it was going to be this type of game, Russ, because the Giants were going on the road to face a Tampa Bay young team that showed the resiliency in the last two games, going from a blowout to a loss and then coming back in an overtime win against the Falcons. So the Giants knew that it was going to come down to controlling the line of scrimmage, which they did with each and every one of their running backs. They got their defense with a bend and don't break mentality. They got a pass rusher back on the field in JPP, and the special teams contributed in which way they needed to, wing with the big punt, and then you look at the way that Josh kicked the ball. So they did it in all three phases, and they did it in a four-quarter fight, and this is a big win for the Giants on the road.
Especially with what's coming in next week. But let's talk about today.
Yeah, I mean, let's talk about this Tampa Bay Buccaneers team. That game they won last week in overtime against Atlanta, that was a tough-fought team. This Lovie Smith, disciplined guy, he prides himself on discipline. Unfortunately, this team has had a lot of penalties. They're leading the league in penalties. They had a lot today. But, again, it's hard to win 2 weeks on the road in the manner in which they did it. We saw the track meet last week. Yeah. Not quite the score. This week, defense held them down. A lot of field goals, so that was good for the defense. But, again, it was a tough-fought win.
Yeah, but when you have a team that had a heartbreaking loss the week before, you know, it's on the coaching staff to get them back and focused on the next game, and that's exactly what happened this week. They are focused. You know, they wanted to control the clock. They had something that they wanted to do coming into the game on offense, control the clock by running the football. That's exactly what they did. And, you know, you got to look at how, you know, just like you said, Dave, getting back JPP, another pass rusher, looked a little rusty in the beginning, but towards the end, he really started to come on and put some pressure on young James Winston.
Oh, let me ask you guys this about JPP. I don't know if you were. I was surprised with how many plays he was in for, almost as if they're trying to – they feel he's got wind, came in physical shape, but he's got to get in football shape. It almost feel like as though they're trying to force-feed him a little bit.
You know what the thing about it is that they really didn't give a set timetable, or they didn't give a pitch count on how many plays that he was going to play. They just said, okay, we'll give him his opportunities out there. But the biggest thing out of it, 46 plays, he got stronger as the game went on. Right. You could see that he didn't wear down. And the biggest thing that he did, he drawed attention from the offensive line of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You saw when he started getting his pressure, when he started using that speed rush to dip around the edge, because he doesn't have that full strength in his body yet, they had to start sliding protections. They had to start getting help to him. And what did it do? It opened up things to other players. It opened up things around the pocket, and it really put that pressure on James Winston.
So let me ask the other offensive lineman over here. When you have a guy playing with a completely bandaged hand,
right,
from an offensive lineman standpoint, what is your mindset, how you're going to deal with him?
Well, for an offensive lineman, it's a difference between whether it's inside or outside hand, because whether you're slapping, ripping, you know, doing the things that you can do as a defensive end. As offensive linemen, we both have played with clubs, with what they call big mitts. This is a permanent situation for JPP. So this is a case of addition by subtraction. He's going to have to learn week in and week out for the rest of his career to be effective. And I think he's going to be better instinctively. I think he's going to – a lot of the other things are going to have to really hone in on his other skills. He's going to have to get off the ball quick. So this is a JPP that we're going to have to see from here on out. And he played a lot lighter. So until he gets back his full strength, I think he's going to look good playing a lot lighter.
Well, I think he looked good today, considering. I mean, early on, he had a little bit. He didn't know how his steps weren't right. You could tell sometimes he just fell into the tackle. But I think that what you are going to get out of him is you're going to get a lot of pressure like it did towards the fourth quarter. He's getting used to playing with that club hand. This is something he hasn't done with before in full go. And now, you know, as the game went on, I was really encouraged by the way that he started being able to incorporate his pass rush moves and get up the field.
And even one of the things that I really liked to see was what Fox did. They focused in on him at the point of attack in the run game. He was able to hold up, force everything right. back inside.
Absolutely.
So that was such a positive sign to see for him, using that hand, really forcing the runs back inside and showing that strength and showing who he was when he was that two-way player, a stopper in the run and his ability to attack the quarterback.
Without question, certainly a positive afternoon down in Tampa. Number one, Giants win the game. Number two, JP comes back. Now let's take care of some business. Got to go to www.adorama.com/Giants to win a Lexar 64-gigabyte professional memory card for sports camcorders, tablets, and smartphones. Adorama, the official electronics retailer of your New York Giants. Coming up, we'll hear from head coach Tom Coughlin in his press conference. Of course, you want to hear what Eli Manning has to say. And you'll be getting plenty of post-game reaction with Paul Dottino there. And, of course, our NFC East standings, of which the Giants stand atop. Stay right where you are. You're watching Giants Post-Game Live. All right, once again, welcome back to Giants Post Game Live here on My Nine. Final score from Raymond James Stadium down in Tampa. The Giants 32, the Buccaneers 18. Giants, improved to 5-4. Let's now go back to Tampa, hear what the head coach, Tom Coughlin, has to say.
This was a hard-fought football game, as we knew it was going to be. I felt good about the defense coming in. I thought they would bounce back. They did a nice job holding basically field goals. We did have the one touchdown at the second half. Disappointing with the turnovers, but we got some and put ourselves in pretty good position as well. And, Josh Brown with the 53-yard field goal there when we really needed it to put us up five, that was a huge play in the game. But, at times we didn't play as well as we're capable of playing, and then we kind of boosted it up at the end to get to make sure we were going to win. And that was good. We benefited from the personal foul. But still, we ground the yardage out. Odell made a heck of a play over on the other sideline to get a first down. And the whole intent was to make that last first down so we could kneel, and we didn't get it. So the rest is history. What can I do for you? Yeah, we always preach about finishing. And, tonight we did. I give them credit. Lovey's done a good job. They battled. The young quarterback played well. But, in the long run, we kind of hung in there and got ourselves a much-needed win.
Tom, your thoughts on JPP and not only his playing, but the impact he had on your team?
Well, I think the players were excited to have him as a part of our team and have him active tonight. You know, I think he made a couple of outstanding rushes, particularly at the end there when the quarterback was forced to roll right and just, you know, kind of heave the ball up, and that was critical at that time. We didn't get a sack there, but we did pressure. And, you know, he needs to get his timing down. Obviously, he made a couple of real good rushes coming up and under. And so I think he's just going to get better and better.
Did you have any sense that he would play that many snaps?
Yeah, well, we did. You know, I thought in the beginning I had a number in mind, and we wanted him at the end of the game, obviously. So he got probably more than he should have. But as I said, he's in great shape, and he kept, you know, wanting to go, and so be it. He did. He did. He did. Yeah, that was a huge plus.
How much of the difference does a major defense look when you have that out there, especially late in the game?
Well, you know, the quarterback can never be too settled, you know, and that's the whole deal. And he did make him uncomfortable, although we weren't able to get to him. We did make him uncomfortable. And that was a huge plus. Anybody else?
Thank you.
Yeah, I don't know the extent of it. It's a pec injury, but where it is, they're usually not very, very good, the information you get. So, but I don't have any medical, I don't have anything other than that.
Tom, you were obviously, you know,
we're going to talk about the number of plays now.
Playing about 75 seconds. That's quick.
Yeah, well, that's probably more than I expected him to play, but he was at his best, as someone just said over here, in the last drive. So based on the conditioning, you know, he really did help us at the end. You saw him chase the quarterback out to the right a couple of times, and that helped. That helped tremendously.
How big was Jasper Brinkley for you? He made fumble recovery, fumble, forced fumble.
Yeah, he's a good football player, and we needed him to step up and play tonight, and he did. You know, he played a lot last week, and I think he benefited from that. Got to play more tonight, made some big plays.
All right, well, you heard Tom Coughlin say that the Giants didn't play as well as they could, but the bottom line is they got the victory, a much-needed victory with the second straight game on the road. I want to hand an unsung hero award out today, and that to me goes to Jonathan Casillas, because he ran down Mike Evans from behind when it looked like they were going to go up 10-3, and God knows what would have happened in that stadium. It would have electrified the crowd had that happened.
And not only him, but you got to think about the other linebacker who stepped up in this game. Jasper Brinkley stepping in for Unga, Beeson now on IR. Both of these guys played very well. Jasper had the fumble, the forced fumble. He recovered one of them. So it's nice to see that even with all the injuries, with everybody banged up going into this one, at key positions where the Giants were really facing adversity, the players that they put in stepped up, played solid, and made the plays that they needed them to make.
Yeah, I mean, athletically, you don't see a lot of cases where your middle linebacker runs down the field stride for stride with the number one receiver in Williams for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But you look at this game defensively, how it started. Right, the interception, they hold him to three, then they come back again. I mean, this is a tough physical game. And as an offensive lineman, I go back to the running game. It wasn't sexy on the ground, but you saw a lot of positive yards, 3-4 yards a carry. You saw offensive linemen pushing the backs, whether it was Williams, whether it was Vereen, whoever, no matter who was in there, you always saw positive yards. And that just showed the physicality of this type of football game. This is a Tom Coughlin football game.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, you talk about unsung heroes. What about the kicking game today? I mean, Brad Wing with the 64-yard punt at a timely, really switching the field position. And also Josh Brown with his 53-yard field goal. Those two things really kept the momentum from going to Tampa Bay, especially at home where any place you're on the road, you know, you have to take the crowd out of the game no matter where you are.
Not only was it a 53-yard, it was his also 23rd consecutive field goal going over a couple of seasons. So Josh Brown is certainly getting the job done. All right, another place you want to go to get the job done is Ben & Jack's. Guests of our post-game show receive a gift certificate to Ben & Jack's Terrific Steakhouse, located in Manhattan on 5th Avenue at 28th Street. From the celebrated porterhouse to the finest seafood, Ben & Jack's will surpass your expectations of what a steakhouse should be. Stay right where you are. Lots more coming up. We're going to hear from Eli Manning at his press conference. Paul Dottino with more player reaction. We've got the NFC East standings, of course, with the Giants sitting atop of the division and the upcoming schedule. Again, Giants Postgame Live here for you on My 9. Stay right where you are. All right, once again, welcome back to Giants Post Game Live here on My Nine. Your final score from down in Tampa today. Giants knock off the Buccaneers by the score of 32-18. What do you say we now go back to Raymond James Stadium, check in with Paul Dottino, who caught up with Rashad Jennings and Jasper Brinkley coming off the field.
So, Rashad, this time the offense was able to close it out. You ran hard down the stretch. I think you had about 30 yards rushing on that last drive. You know, it did feel good as an offense unit to kind of, you know, move the ball down the field. Good game, man. Move the ball down the field. We still got to close it how we want to with the ball in our hand. But, you know, hats off to the offensive line and the open up holes. And the backs throughout the whole game was kind of pounding us.
It wasn't always pretty at times, but I thought it was effective. You guys did make some key plays when you had to.
We did. We showed up. A lot of guys showed up big time on third downs, you know, and putting us in position to, you know, manage. Third downs, controlling the first downs, but I say hats off to this offensive line. They played well today.
Rashad Jennings, thanks for your time.
Appreciate it.
Well, Jasper, of course, Beeson goes to IR. Thomas can't play. You step up and have a hell of a game today, including a forced turnover.
Yeah, I mean, that's how it's supposed to be, man. You know, next man up. You know, Beeson is a great leader in our room, and, you know, he's the guy that helped me kind of learn the defense when I first got here, and he still continues to do it each and every day. So, you know, a lot of that I attribute that to him and the coaches and the players in the room. So, you know, a lot of it goes to communication, and we did a great job of communicating today.
Now, of course, you and Unga have both been studying under John. Unga could not go. When did you know for sure that you would be getting the call today?
Well, I'm always listening to the coaches, so whatever they say, I'm ready, man. You know, I've been in this league long enough to know, you know, whenever you're called up, you know, it's your time to go.
What was the key to this defense containing Doug Martin and Winston as well?
Just relentless effort, and I feel like we came out and did that today.
That's what brings me next to your time.
Thank you.
All right, Paul, thank you very much. You know, you brought up the fact that, you know, the guys on defense, you know, came up, Brinkley being one of them. When you think about it, these guys are going to have to stand up moving forward each and every game, each and every down, because Beeson's gone. He's not coming back. He's on injured reserve this season.
And that's the good thing about having a veteran like Brinkley who's been able to take the time to learn the defense before he transitioned in as a starter. But moving forward here, there's still going to be the issue of once there's going to be a dynamic tight end like a Gronkowski next week, which one of these linebackers are going to step up and be able to play that man-on-man coverage?
Well, they're going to be tested next week, that's for sure, because remember something. The field goals that the Buccaneers settled for today, Tom Brady, not taking anything away from Jameis Winston, he's not in that league yet.
When you go back to the linebacker situation, let's look at the back they had to tackle today. Doug Martin has the burst, can make you miss, and he breaks tackles. There aren't a lot of backs in the league that can do that. And it was really commendable that, like you said, no matter who's up, you listen to the coach, you step up and play. But that's why you keep those guys in the roster. That's why you bring guys in that can fit in the system, that can fit in the scheme, and go be productive on Sunday.
Yeah, one thing we noticed today watching the game was how all the backs, the group of them, were all finishing downhill. And Rashad Jennings, after that fourth quarter drive to close out the game, of course they wanted to finish with the ball in their hands. But I just like the attitude that the offense is taking, having a little more physicality to it, and I think the running backs are really starting to find their hole in Ben McAdoo's offense.
Yeah, I mean, as an offensive lineman, one thing I appreciate is it doesn't matter who's in the game, the plays are still the same. It's not, well, this back isn't here, so we got to run draws and screens. Well, this back comes in, all right, this is our power guy. Or this back comes in, here's, I mean, you don't, you, it, it takes away all the predictability that no matter who's in there, Andre Williams, Vereen, Rashad Jennings, doesn't matter who's in there, it's still the same amount of productivity. It's really, they're all really the same type of backs. And at some point, you'd love to see one guy get 30 carries. I mean, we're beyond that discussion, obviously, but it's good to see that there is productivity coming out of the backfield.
And going along with that, you got to give a lot of credit to Ben McAdoo and the way that he ran it systematically, because you saw your zone stretches where they were running it. But you got to love as an offensive lineman. Yeah. They ran power. They were pulling guards. They were getting double teams at the point of attack. And they made Gerald McCoy today a non-factor, which this entire season, he's been playing in the backfield the entire year. So you got to give Ben McAdoo a lot of credit in the offensive line, because they were able to maintain control in the running game, which in turn helped out everything down the stretch.
Well, I tell you what, like you say, when they have a running game, it just makes Eli and the receiving corps, as you all know, that much better. All right, a lot more to come here on Giants Post Game Live. Right now, take care of some business. And listen, fans, up very closely because you can enjoy the taste of the Giants, which is an evening of really some great food from some of the best restaurants around and the opportunity as well to meet some of your favorite Giants players. And it all is tomorrow night, November 9th, from 6 to 9 p.m. right over at MetLife Stadium, all for a very, very good cause. Purchase tickets today at Giants.com/taste. A lot more coming up here on Giants Post Game Live, including Jason Pierre-Paul. So you want to stick around because you certainly want to hear from Big Number 90. All right, welcome back to Giants Post Game Live here on My Nine. I'm Russ Salzberg. Once again, your final score from down in Tampa. Giants beat the Buccaneers by a score of 32-18. Let's now go back to Raymond James Stadium in Tampa. Check in with our guys, Paul Dottino and Howard Cross. Men?
Thank you so much, Russ. And, you know, we were standing on the sidelines, and as we were watching JPP, who wound up in on 46 of 63 defensive snaps, I didn't see him sucking wind, Howard. It looked like he was in good condition.
You know what? He is in great condition. It's not just good condition. He's doing a good job also of doing several different things, right hand on the ground, left hand on the ground, standing. He actually, you know, came to the field with a speed rush, inside, outside, up and under. I was impressed. Played the run, too.
Yeah, it looked like he did have a 3 or 4 unofficial quarterback pressures, and I think his presence really did energize the entire defensive line. We just heard from Robert Ayers a little while ago here in the tunnel, and he said everybody was really jacked up about it.
Yeah, you know, although there were no sacks, he did move the quarterback off his spot, which is very, very important. And moving the guy off his spot makes things harder for a quarterback to play and throw the ball and make completion. He saw some air throws on that pass.
All right, now how about the defense on Doug Martin, 11 carries for 31 yards, and this guy was in the top 5 in the NFL in rushing, but boy, did they hold him down.
They did a great job on their defensive playing against the run. They shut him down from every angle. They played their lanes real well. Everybody rallied to the ball. The thing you have to do with a great running back is rally to the ball, and they did a good job of it.
Yeah, it really seemed as though a lot of hats were getting there. And then the other thing, Eli Manning's numbers were 25 of 40 for 213 yards, 2 touchdowns, and 2 interceptions. But again, Howard, we were on the field. It looked like he was a little bit off tonight.
He may have been a little bit off, but the thing that he did was he rallied his troops. I saw him going up and down the sideline, pulling the guys together, giving everybody good hands, and, you know, let's go, we're in this together. And that's what you want to say. He even went over to the defense one time, patting hands. So, you know, it's not always all about how completions. It's about being a leader, and he was a leader tonight.
And then finally, the feel-good feeling, Howard, this team is now back over 500. Very, very significant.
Yeah, you know, back over 500 is good, but you've got a tough game coming up next week, so let's take it easy, keep working hard, one at a time.
Yeah, they tell me the New England Patriots are on the schedule, but the Giants won't worry about them quite yet. Hey, let's go to the podium where Eli Manning is addressing the media.
Well, it's a good win. We needed this win. We knew it was going to be tough. They're a scrappy team. They did a good, you know, we knew going in they did a good job getting turnovers and got 2 on us today. So, offensively, I thought we did some good things in the first half. Second half, it was tough. It was tough to get into a rhythm. They did a good job changing some things up, and playing us pretty well. But there's definitely some opportunities. But we did what we had to do to win, and we needed a drive there at the very end, and we were able to get it. Waste almost the last 5 minutes of the game with us with the ball, and get a field goal, go up 8 with just giving them just a little bit of time. So that was a big drive, what needed to be done to win, and we did enough good things to win the game. Yeah, big play by Odell. Had man-to-man coverage, and it was tight. Yeah, it was definitely tight. They played it pretty well, and tried to put it in a safe spot. He did a great job, getting his hands underneath the ball and making that catch. A huge third down conversion. They had a little momentum going offensively, and to get that conversion, run some more clock, make them use some timeouts, was huge. Yeah, I thought we did make some nice plays in the first half. Had a couple nice drives and went down, got touchdowns, got a field goal. Second half defense got us a turnover right off the get go. In great field position, missed a couple throws there that could have been touchdowns or first downs. So had to settle for a field goal. But I thought after that, we converted on some third downs. We had some things. We just weren't getting. Very big plays. We had a lot of first down, second down, third down. We convert, and we just kept getting those a lot of third downs, and eventually they'd get a stop, and we'd have to give it back to them. They had the turnover there in the second half also. But I thought we had some decent drives and did some good things, but obviously we could have been better.
What was the overall feeling seeing JPP in the lineup?
It was just fun seeing him out there chasing the quarterback. You wanted him to get a sack. I don't think he got one that I saw, but I definitely saw him chasing the quarterback around and getting him out of the pocket, making him move. So he was a presence, that's after 2 weeks of practicing. So, the more practice that he gets, getting back in the lineup, getting more game playing time will help him. But he was definitely disruptive today. It was good to see that. It's a good chance I was going to him. So it was man to man, and was working him on the outside on that route. So had off coverage and free release, and he ran a good route, and it was tight. But we needed to convert right there.
And that was quarterback Eli Manning. We'll talk more about Eli coming up in our next segment, along with Jason Pierre-Paul, who you'll be hearing from coming up as well. So stay right where you are. You're watching Giants Post Game Live here on My9. Once again, your final score from Raymond James Stadium down in Tampa. Giants win, beat the Bucs by a score of 32-18, improving their record to 5-4 and first place in the NFC East. Welcome back to Giants Post Game Live here on My9, and we bring in our new sponsor, the toughest player of the game, driven for you by the Hess Toy Truck. And today's toughest player of the game is one Odell Beckham Jr., who caught 9 passes today for 105 yards, targeted 17 times. And again, he is our toughest player of the game. Let's go to another guy who knows about being a tough receiver, Amani Toomer.
It was a tough performance for him today because it wasn't as pretty as it always is in terms of him catching these long balls down the field. He had to fight and scrap in there in terms of, you know, people hanging all over his back and make clutch plays. And I think he grew up as a receiver today in the sense that, you know, not every game is going to be the ones where you're going to score 3 touchdowns like you did last week and be streaking down the field. Some of them are going to be gritty, and today was a gritty performance, in my opinion, for Odell Beckham Jr.
Yeah, I mean, you look at this defense. I mean, they were known for stripping a lot of balls. They were known for really getting after the ball carriers. And week to week, at this point, the secret, there's no secret anymore about Odell Beckham, about who he is as a player, about just how electrifying he is. Again, that long of 24, it started raining towards the end. I mean, one catch he caught in the middle, he kind of got twisted like a pretzel in there, continued possession. He had some tough catches. It wasn't all athletic and pretty like last week when you were indoor, you know, going back home, but he definitely had some tough catches today.
Well, obviously it was a completely different game plan from where they went last week, playing up against New Orleans, spreading everything out, giving them those big one-on-one matchups. What did they use him as tonight? They used him as a decoy. He was lined up in the backfield. He was in the slot. He was all over the field to open up opportunities for other players like Reuben Randle and Vereen, who both had great games.
No pun intended, because he is the toughest player of our game today. But one thing, you know, he's not known for, but he is a tough kid. I mean, he is a tough kid. He's not afraid to go in traffic. He can take a hit. He can hold on to the ball. I mean, the first play of the game, there was a screw up. The ball was thrown a little bit behind him. I thought he should have caught it, but he really did. He's a tough kid.
Yeah, he's intense, too. I mean, on the sideline there, he gets and starts punching the Gatorade jug. Gatorade's getting beat up nowadays on the sideline. But
after the interception, when he slams a player down on the ground, when he tackles him. So that was that's doing beyond just catching the football.
Well, you know, that's what a sign of a player who wants to be great. He doesn't handle mediocrity. You saw him going crazy on the sidelines when Werner jumped him on the slant and was able to intercept the football. He wants to perform each play and do it at a maximum level. So you love a competitor like this.
You got to protect the hands, though. Yeah. You're going to lose sometimes you punch a Gatorade bottle. You might lose. You got nice hands. Got to keep them from breaking anything.
Can't sue. You ain't going to be catching balls with one hand if you break one of them. That's for sure. All right. That's right now. Let's go back to Raymond James Stadium. Catch up with Paul Dottino, who caught up with Robert Ayers.
Well, thanks, guys. And, of course, one of the big storylines in this game was the return of JPP. Robert Ayers, you have been so instrumental in terms of the feel-good feeling in that locker room about Jason. You've talked about how close you guys are to him and how much it would mean to have him back. So now that you got him on the field, what did it mean?
It meant a lot. You know, it gave us something extra to play for. We know what he's been through, and he's out there battling, you know, still going through his troubles. And, you know, he's out there battling with us. So that's a huge spark, you know, and he wants to win, man. He wants to help this organization and this team win. And, you know, that's big for us to know that, you know, he's willing to do what he – you know, what he's doing to help us win.
Now, people asked during the week about how many snaps you think he can play. You kept saying, look, he's a special guy. He's like Superman. He can do a lot of stuff that normal people can't do. Do you know he played nearly 50 snaps tonight, almost two-thirds of the game?
I mean, like I said, you know, I didn't expect anything else. You know, I've never really seen him get tired. You know, he plays relentless all game, and he plays hard. And, you know, he was training, you know, crazy. You know, he was on, you know, really, really busting his behind before the incident, and then, you know, that set him back a little bit. But, you know, like I've been saying, you know, he lost a finger. He didn't lose his skills. He didn't lose his talent. He didn't lose his God-given ability. So, I mean, he can work with those things, and he can overcome those things. And, you know, his heart and his determination is going to, you know, push him forward through it all.
Okay, so maybe the big sack numbers weren't there today, but how well do you feel the defensive line played in terms of pressuring Winston?
You know, we let him get out of the pocket for a couple of times. I know one time he ran and he got a touchdown, and then, you know, a couple of times we almost had him, and then he completed some passes. So he's a real mobile guy. You know, we didn't get any sacks, but, you know, a little too early to fully judge what we've done. But, you know, we disrupt him a little bit, but, you know, he can always be better.
Final thing, you held Doug Martin to just an unbelievable amount of low yardage. How'd you do it?
You know, a real focused effort. You know, we knew, you know, he was a tough back, you know, and he runs hard, and you know, they still ended up with quite a bit at the end. You know, they broke a long one, but, you know, overall, you know, I think it was a good overall effort.
Robert Ayers, thanks for your time.
Thank you.
Okay, guys, let's go back to you.
All right, Paul and Robert, thank you very much. Folks, you want to stay right where you are. When we come back to hit Giants Post Game Live here, we'll talk more about the improved play of the Giants defensive line today, and we'll also hear from number 90, Jason Pierre-Paul. So stay right where you are. You're watching Giants Post Game Live here for you on My Nine. All right, welcome back to Giants Post Game Live, folks, here on My Nine. As promised, let's hear from Jason Pierre-Paul at the podium.
It felt great. You know, I had fun out there. Just to be with my teammates and helping them win this game, you know, it felt great. I knew what my goal was. I knew how many snaps I was going to get. You know, it's not normal for me to come out the game, but, you know, it takes time. I'm just glad we won this game. I don't even know. If it was up to me, I would never come out, but you know, that's not possible. You know, it's first game back.
What was your mindset there in the fourth quarter, like 4 or 5 minutes to go when they had the ball?
To stop them. You know, it came down in the fourth quarter, you know, just to stop them or get the ball back.
You seem to really turn it up a notch at that point.
Yeah, you know, it's time to close the game. You know, when it comes down to fourth quarter, you know, you got to give everything you got. Even though you got to give everything you got in the game, but, you know, it's beat the man in front of you.
Do you feel like you actually could have played the whole game that you think
you have? No. No, this is my first game back, guys. You know, I'm near the rusty in areas. I'm going to go back and watch the film and see what I can get better at. And you know, get ready for New England.
A couple times you had Jason last drive. Mm-hmm. It seemed like you almost got
him. Yeah, we definitely made him uncomfortable. You know, he's a good quarterback. You know, he can run, he can scramble. A couple times he got out and scrambled on us, but you know, we kept our composure and played some good football.
Did you take any time to reflect on just what this meant for you before coming back and before the game with Davidson?
You know, really, you know, I didn't really think about it. You know, I just know, you know, I'm happy that I'm back out here doing what I love to do. You know, I got a second opportunity, and that's basically it. You know, I'm just helping my team win some great football. Huh? I think I played good. Like I said, I got some areas I need to take care of. You know, I know I'm not perfect, but I'm going to try my hardest to take care of them and move on to the next game.
How comfortable were you with the glove or the mitten or whatever?
It was pretty comfortable. You know, I practiced all through the week with it. You know, I decided to go with it, but it was cool, you know.
I know you weren't on the field last week, but how big was it for the defense to wash out and have a good performance against
them? I can't say it again.
I know you weren't on the field last week, but yeah. You got to feel pretty good as a defense to hold them to 18 points, especially in the red zone.
Of course. You know, anytime we hold them to 18 points, you know, it feels good, but at the end of the day, you know, we just came out here and played some great football. You know, Coach Spaz gave us a speech or whatever, and, you know, he tells us what we need to do, and we execute our plays and practice pretty well, and that's what we came out here and did.
How special was it for you to be back here at Rangers?
Say that again? I can't hear you.
How special was it for you to be back here at Rangers?
You know, I went to school here at USF. You know, it felt pretty good. You know, it's like I was in college again, but I'm not. But, you know, it's a cool stadium to play at, and, you know, it just felt good.
All right, Jason Pierre-Paul seeming confident, and rightfully so. He had himself a nice comeback game. Let's take a look at his statistics.
You know, like I stated earlier, it was great to see him get stronger as the play and the game progressed. You saw him really come on strong in the fourth quarter with being able to apply the pressure. And, you know, a lot of people question, where would he be coming into this game? You know, why wouldn't they wait one more week? You know, I think it has a lot to do with him getting comfortable, which what better way than to do it in Florida where he played in college. But also the biggest thing you want a defensive end to gain is confidence. What did he do? He went out there, performed well, was able to do it up against a young rookie offensive tackle and the left tackle in Smith for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And what also didn't do, it didn't force anybody like us or anybody from the outside to say, wow, we're putting him in the Patriots game. He's going to be able to get to Brady every single time. So at least this way, he's able to work it in, get his confidence back, get comfortable back again. More importantly, get acclimated with his teams and play football.
Yeah, I don't think anybody could have expected him to be in 46 of 63 plays. That was really quite remarkable. Another guy who's been pretty remarkable is Josh Brown. He is money in the bank. Let me tell you that right now. Let's check in with Paul Dottino and Josh Brown.
All right, thanks again, guys. Josh, 4 for 4 kicking field goals. And again, the way these games are becoming so emotional and so dramatic, every single one of those points seems like it's going to make a difference.
Yeah, no, every point counted counts every week, but tonight was really important to be able to just continue to build and continue to keep momentum and continue to keep spirits high on the sideline. I mean, we're in enemy territory here, so any opportunity you get to score points is big.
All right, now, they did pass up on a chance to kick, I think, a 52-yarder mm-hmm. late in the first half, but then later on, you hit a 53 late in the game, which had to feel good.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, anytime you get a chance to hit a big one like that, and also, I mean, the situation was real.
Sure.
I mean, we needed those 3 points, and, you know, we did a great job of getting the ball set and being able to convert on the kick.
You know, a lot of people knew that Rainey coming in was a very dangerous return guy in both kickoff and punt returns. How much of a concern was he? And I thought you guys did a very good job on him.
No, I mean, he was definitely somebody we really had to plan for. He's a vertical returner, just really likes to hit it and get it. And he's a bowling ball. You got to hit him in the knees. And, you know, the thing is, was either kick it out or hang it up really high. And our kickoff coverage did a phenomenal job today. Brad is just impeccable on his punting. He's really done a phenomenal job since he's been here. And, you know, the guys are – we've got a lot of momentum with our special teams. We're really proud of them. We've got a good group. Coaches are doing a great job of preparing guys this year and teaching. And it's happening on the field. It's been great.
Josh Brown, thanks for your time.
Thank you.
All right, Josh Brown with a big game today. Another guy who had himself a pretty big game was Shane Vereen. We'll hear from him coming up. So stay right where you are. You're watching Giants Post Game Live here on My Nine. All right, welcome to our final segment here on Giants Post Game Live on My Nine. What do you say we now go back to Raymond James Stadium in Tampa, check in with Paul Dottino and Shane Vereen.
Shane, it's becoming so obvious that you are a very critical part of this passing game. Those medium and short range passes, you're able to nickel and dime down the field. The mismatches against the linebackers, once again, it showed up big today.
Yeah, what can I say? It was a good team win. It really was. We got contributions all over the field. I think guys played well. Eli played well. The O-line played well for four quarters. And they really brought it when we needed it in the fourth to run the clock out.
You had scored a touchdown today. How important was it for the Giants to play from ahead in this game and not get behind?
Yeah, I think it was very important. You know, we got seven games left to go in the season. At this point in the season, you want to be able to make improvements and continue to win and be able to win games that you're up in, you know, keep a lead and keep going forward. And we were able to do that tonight.
Now, in the first month of the season, your running game averaged only 3.5 yards a carry. Since that time, 4.5 yards a carry. And I'm telling people that it's been rather reasonably effective, maybe not spectacular.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's something we work on every single day, every day at practice. You know, as running backs, we pride ourselves in being able to run the football. Everybody in the running back group feels the same way. We all want the ball in our hands, and we all feel like, you know, that we have a confidence in each other.
Shane Vereen, thanks for your time.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Okay, guys, let's go back to you.
All right, that was Paul Dottino and Shane Vereen. Now, what do you say we take a look at the NFC East standings, where the Giants sit atop? And, you know, I spoke with Tom Coughlin early in the week, and I said each time Giants get a chance to kind of take control of the situation, they stumble, but this time they did not. So there you see them at 5-4, Eagles, who are playing the Cowboys tonight. It's 3-4, your Skins and the Cowboys. So I guess if you're a Giants fan, you'd like to see the Cowboys win tonight. Doesn't sound normal rooting for a Cowboy victory, but to get the Eagles also at a fifth loss as well.
It doesn't. You heard Shane Vereen talking about their game plan. It was great to see him come in and perform not only in the passing game, but once he gets going in the ground game, even though it's only a couple touches, defenses can't get beat on him, and he's going to be crucial going into this game against the undefeated New England Patriots coming into Giants territory next Sunday.
Yeah, look, it's all hands on deck next week. And I go back to Ayers, his comments about JPP, about, you know, no matter what he lost, he didn't lose his heart, his determination, his will, like how hard he was working. And that's really what this football team needs right now. They need to start to play better. They're over 500. We want to see two games over 500. That's a different football team. That's a team that was confident. That's a team who's playing well. And as you guys both know, the team that plays their best 5-6 weeks of football after Thanksgiving is where you want to be. And that erases any of the mistakes that they would have had, you know, earlier in the season, some of those early losses. And that could be fixed with a win at home next week against a very good football team.
Yeah, they're definitely still in the mix, no matter if, you know, no matter what, the fact that they're in first place in the division. They caught the Patriots coming in next week. But if you're 5-5, you know, with six games left, you still have you're in the mix in terms of, just like you said, Roman, getting hot towards the end of the season, which the Giants have traditionally done to win Super Bowls in the recent past years. So I think that the Giants are right where they should be. And I think that, you know, this is a performance that they needed to have to stay kind of in the hunt. In the NFC.
You know, you mentioned JPP, and we talk about not losing his heart. One thing, he also is probably more determined than ever for a couple of reasons. He wants to prove a lot of people wrong who had him written off, number one. And number two, let's be honest, football is a big business. He's thinking about his future and another contract.
Well, he most certainly is, and he's thinking about his future. And, well, the Giants are thinking about his future next week.
Yes.
Because when it comes to Tom Brady, we all know when the Giants have had success against him, what have they been able to do? Get pressure on him, hit him, and get him off of his spot. So JPP coming into this next week's game is going to be huge. Continuing to improve his play, continuing to get his second pass rush moves going, and just continuing to grow as a football player.
Speaking of next week, yeah, that's exactly right. Giants are back home at MetLife Stadium Sunday, November 15th, 4:25 p.m. to face Tom Brady and his New England Patriots. And then, as always, following each and every Giants game, you want to flip right over here to My Nine for Giants Post Game Live. But again, I also think he wanted to make sure that JPP, when I say he, Tom Coughlin wanted to make sure that JPP was coming back today and not making his return against the New England Patriots.
Yeah, you go back to next week. What happened today on the offense, Eli was up straight, no sacks. Unfortunately, on defense, no sacks against defense. So you need to put pressure on the quarterback next week if you're going to have any success. You don't want to see Tom Brady sitting flat on his feet, going through his progressions and falling through his throws, because that could be a bad day for the defense. Because they're watching that New Orleans film. That's still on tape. So defense has to fix that, and offense has to do their job.
And JPP is motivated as well because he has a little bit of incentive in his contract. He can make up the lost money if he gets 10 sacks. So the more times he's out on the field, the more opportunity he has for 10 sacks.
All right. Well, anyway, folks, that's a wrap here for David Deal, Roman Oben, and Amani Tuma. I am Russ Salzberg. Once again, thanks for being part of our show here at Giants Post Game Live. Again, we will see you next week. Giants home at MetLife Stadium taking on Tom Brady and the New England Patriots. We'll see you then. Stay right where you are.